Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Two scriptures that I want to read you this morning about how God wants to put a longing for belonging in everyone. And they're right out of the New Testament. I believe God puts a longing for belonging in every single heart. The first one is in Romans chapter 12. I read verse 3 through 5. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith. I like that. The measure of faith God has given each of you. God gives each of us a measure of faith. Verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Verse 5 is a key verse as it relates to God puts a longing for belonging in each of us. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. Verse 5, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. Galatians chapter 6, I read a few verses there, verse 9 and 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says this, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let's not give up. Can I have a good amen? If we do not give up. And then it goes into verse 10. It says, therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Belong to the family of believers. So Romans teaches us that each one member belongs to one another. And Galatians says, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. See, as you read the Bible and as you read the New Testament, it clearly states the responsibility to belong to one another. Matter of fact, did you know that over 58 times the phrase one another is repeated in the Bible? Serve one another, give to one another, pray for one another, over and over time, 58 times. One another, one another, one another, one another. And the goal out of this whole conversation about a place to belong is to decide to belong to one another. We're going to continue this conversation even more in August and in September. Actually going to do a membership moment here at Healing Place Church. We did that several years ago. We're going to do that also in August and September. Up to that time, we're going to teach some values throughout our offering time, because I believe it matters to connect deeper than just kind of, what's up? What's up? What's up? Head check. What's up? I believe God wants us to connect more than just that. I believe He just doesn't want us to be an attender of a church. I believe He just doesn't want us to be a spectator of a church. I believe He wants us to belong to the family of God. I believe Romans and Galatians. I believe that He wants us to belong to the family. I believe we have a responsibility to the family. I believe we're not meant to just be an island, just kind of solo, solo. I believe if there's anybody that could have sung solo, it was Jesus. But He decided to put a group together. He decided to do life with other people. And I just want to encourage you with that. I want to challenge you with that. You know, can I tell you the three best decisions I've ever made? I'm 45 years old. I turned 46 in a couple weeks. I know that shocks many of you here. I know that has totally thrown some of you off, because many of you thought I was in the 34 range, 33. But I turned 46 years old in a couple weeks. In 46 years, three best decisions. First one was when I decided to receive Jesus and said yes to Him and became born again June the 21st, 1982. The second one was when Delin asked me to marry her. That was an important time. It's key. She just chased me down. It was crazy. And the second most important decision I've made in my life is who I married. It affects everything. The third best decision I have ever made or ever been a part of was to connect and commit to the local church. Third best decision I ever made. Connect and commit to the local church. And I'm not going to waste any time. I want to break this down for you. And I want to give you real quick 5 life-shaping, legacy-leaving benefits of connecting and belonging in the family of God. Belonging to family, belonging to the local church, belonging to people, the longing for belonging, finding a place to belong. I just want to give it to you because I believe that they're important, because many times we're searching for things and we're not finding them, and there's this void in our life and we wonder, and so often it is found in the cause of Jesus Christ. The cause of Jesus Christ. Here's the first thing that's happened in my life since I made a decision 2 weeks after coming to Christ. I made a decision to get involved with the local church and to commit and to plant myself in the house of God. I've been a Christian now, 46 years old, I guess. 28 years old, 28 years. I've been, was that right? 28, 20, I'm doing the math. 28 years I've been a believer. In 28 years, I've only been in 3.5 churches. 3.5. Because I was in one kind of halfway for a couple months because we were in between transition. We were moving around. I just went there a little bit in this little transitional time. But in this many years, I've been connected and committed to my local church where I got saved. I was there several years, the second church, this church. I've been in this church longer than I've been in any church. Matter of fact, this is the first church I've ever pastored. It's the only church I've ever pastored. That gives you hope, doesn't it? Kind of, wow, leadership is really feeling strong here. But here they are right here. Here's the first thing it did. It's helped build my belief. It has built my belief. My faith has been shaped by the efforts and the mentors and the teachers and the pastors and those that have done Sunday school or in our first setting and those that have led small groups. My faith has been shaped by the efforts of the church. The Bible says faith comes by hearing. Do you know where I've heard the word the most? It's through Sunday services, Wednesday services. Because when there's no word, there's no faith. When there's no word, there's no strength. I made a decision to be there, to commit, to attend. Because I believe if you want to grow in God, you got to show up at God's house. You just got to show up at God's house. You got to go. So my belief systems have so much been shaped, of course, in my personal devotion, of course, in my time in the Word, in my own prayer life, in my own seeking Him. But can I tell you, a lot of it has been shaped by seeing it demonstrated in other believers, in other men of God, Brother Wayne, Brother Renz, people in this church. My faith, my belief has been built so much because of connecting to the family of God. Here's the second thing that I believe is so important and is a life-shaping legacy is this right here. It's given me a place to belong, or it's giving me some belonging. I've been able to belong. You say, well, Dino, I can believe and not belong. I can believe and I don't have to belong to a church. I can believe and I don't have to belong to a family of God. It's like saying, I want to play in the NBA, but I don't want to be on a team. You're not going to play in the NBA. Or I want to join the Navy, but I'm not ever going to go to a base. You're not going to be in the Navy. Or I want to be a tuba player, but I don't want to be in a band. How many knows there's no place for solo tuba playing? Everybody say, thank God for the tuba player. But they're connected to a marching band. It just doesn't work. See, believing without belonging really is nothing more than just being a spiritual orphan. Because you don't have anywhere to belong. God wants us to belong. God wants us to belong. See, He doesn't want us to date the church or just have one night stands spiritually, one night stands and just kind of bouncing around and drifting here and there. It makes one spiritually loose, and that's not good. You want to find a place and you want to plant. See, I've learned how to believe. So my belief system has given me a place of belonging. I've belonged. None of the settings I've been in have ever been perfect. Can I tell you when this church is perfect? This is a perfect church at 3 a.m. when no one is here. It's a perfect church. As soon as one soul steps in this building, it's no longer perfect. But I still belong. I don't understand Delin, but I'm still married. She doesn't understand me, but she's crazy about me. I don't understand my daughters, but I'm crazy about them. A lot of things in life I don't understand. A lot of times, not everything is perfect, but I'm still committed to it. It's given me a place to believe. It's given me a place to belong. Here's the third one. It's helped me to become what God has wanted me to become. What I am today, I have become because of the local church and the cause of Jesus Christ through the local church. I've learned how to be a dad in the context of the local church. Watching dads around here, being connected to dads. I've learned how to be a husband in a biblical term, in a biblical sense, by just watching men that proclaim faith and are connected. I've learned how to be a friend. I've learned how to be a servant in the house of God. I've learned how to just be a guy, a man after God's heart, by watching many men here in this setting, just you being a man and you being a man after God's heart. I've become whatever God would want me to become. I'm not what I totally want to be. I'm not where I need to be. I've still got a lot of room to grow. I'm not there yet. But you know what? I believe I'm becoming something because I'm connected to the family of God. I'm becoming something because I'm connected to people who also have the same heart. And so I'm becoming something. And then the fourth thing, that the benefit, which I believe is life shaping and helps leave a legacy, is that it has taught me how to behave. Come on, somebody. Just kind of helps you to know how to behave. Here's my question. Who's going to do this if the people of God are not going to do this? I mean, for real, where are we going to learn how to behave? Now, I believe this, that you need to believe before you try to behave. Because too many people try to behave without believing. That would make one frustrated individual. It's like trying to be a Christian without Christ. It just doesn't work. And so I've learned how to behave. Can I just tell you the truth? My children are not in this service. I'll tell them if they're in the next service. When I came to Christ, I had a problem with cussing. I was a cusser. I'm not going to ask somebody to raise their hand if you're struggling with cussing. I said words that just picked it up from people. Guess what? 2 months into the house of God, I went to a summer camp. And a guy talked about letting nothing but that edifies come out of your mouth. He actually gave an altar call. Says, is there anybody here who you struggle with temper? You just say things you don't mean. And you just kind of spout off. That's called Christian cussing in church. That was interpreted. You can't cuss in church. So it represents words you shouldn't say. And he said, if that's you, let's just come forward. Let's surrender it all to God. I actually went forward. God helped me to just redefine my language because I don't want to be like that. I mean, I learned how to behave. I wrote down some other things that were not real great. I mean, I would fight a little bit. What you saying, man? You want some? A little impatient, a little hot. What's up? I mean, pop a few people, push a few guys. You know, I mean, you know, just, you know, 18, 19 years old, want to fight somebody. It's crazy. You know, just, I learned in the body of Christ, you don't act that way. Calm down, control yourself. Turn the other cheek or run. I smoked pot before I got saved. I got in church after I came to Christ. I never smoked pot another day in my life. I got saved. I mean, I remember going forward and a week after being Christian, I just went and said, I don't want to live that way. I do not want to live under that false pretense of peace at all. I quit drinking. I drink a little. I quit drinking. After I came to Christ, I drank one other time. And when I took one drink at a party and it felt horrible, I said, this is not what I want my life to be about. I just don't want to do this. It helped me to behave in a manner that hopefully is God pleasing to him. It dealt with immorality. Be holy, act right.
Don't do that. Don't look at that. Don't say that. Don't think about those things. Help me with dating and help me to how to treat a woman. I learned it. You know, it's respect. It's honor. It's agape love. It's not the crazy love that's defined around. It helped me to behave. I would have never married the woman I married if it wasn't for what I learned in the house of God. People know how to treat her, honor her. I just get what I wanted. Taught me about respect. Taught me about attitude. Taught me about ego. Taught me about my pride. I had a pride issue. I thought I was hit on a stick. What's up, man? I was in Bible college. Had an ego pride issue. Got on an elevator one day. And the professor hit the stop button. Bell's going off. It's him and I in the elevator. He said, I can smell your pride a mile away. Who you talking to? I ain't got a pride issue, man. What you talking about? I ain't got no pride issue, man. He looked at me. He said, the other day in chapel, you walked by me and I spoke to you and you did this. He says, you have a pride issue. God will never use you till you surrender that. Boy, he prayed for me in that elevator. Power of God just fell in the elevator. I got down on my knees in the elevator. He pushed go. Door opens. I'm on my knees. Lord, have mercy. Walks out. Oh, this is embarrassing. Exactly what I needed, Dr. Ruben Sequeira. We named a baseball field after him. He's one of our baseball fields. Pride. I learned how to behave. Belief first. I'm just being honest with you. And then the last thing, and I'll finish with this. About belonging. My life is bigger. My life is bigger. Because I connected and committed to the house of God and to the people of God. My life is bigger, my life is broader, my life is deeper. So much more meaningful because I decided through grace and mercy, and I'm still learning. And can I tell you real quick? He's still teaching me how to behave. I still got issues. I was at a basketball gym yesterday in the middle of a basketball game. Had to walk outside. I got so mad at the referee. Walk out the building. I came back in the building. The lady's like, well, your wife would have been proud of you. At least you walked outside. Because Delin told me last week when I went to the basketball game, you cannot act that way at a basketball game. It's embarrassing. You're a pastor. You don't think these people know that? It was a bad call. That's exactly what I said. I got problems. I got big problems. So last night, another bad call. I walked outside the gym. Just walked around. I could hear Delin. You better act right. It's slow-mo. I got problems. I still don't behave. My life is bigger because I've decided to do life with him and all y'all. My life is bigger. Because we decided to do life with we, not just me. Too many people are doing life with me, not we. Because of we, not me, guess what? We've sponsored we together. My life is bigger. Two campuses in Africa. There are people having church this weekend. You're having church. You have a church campus in Africa where about 700 people will come to church this weekend. Last night, you know what we did? We sponsored an event at the Baton Rouge Dream Center. About 350 people came. It was a dance-off. I missed it. It was a dance-off and it was a fundraiser to help build life and opportunity at three foster care group homes right here in our own area that we're going to go and kind of add value to these group homes. And guess what? It gives us access for the gospel. So, I mean, what a great idea that we got. Our life is bigger. I could have never done that by myself. You could have never done that by yourself. Your life is bigger because of that. You've given vaccinations in Peru this year. Drinking water in Haiti. To start Servolution in over 450 cities in the last 2 years. You helped clean up Nashville when the floods were there a couple weeks ago. I mean, think about what we do together. Medical clinics in Honduras. Visiting inmates in Angola. Cutting yards for widows in St. Francisville. It's what we were able to do together. Buying box fans for grandmothers in North Baton Rouge. Rebuilding a church in New Orleans. Doing a rodeo in G-Town where 200 people made a decision for Jesus Christ. Sending the next generation out to Austin and Swaziland and Honduras. And you built an arena in times when they said it couldn't happen. Wow, we did it together. Our life is bigger. You say, I didn't do all that. Yeah, you did. While you were at work and you were tending to your family and you were going to school and you were taking care of problems in the workplace, you were doing all that. Why? Because you decided to get away from me and live in the we. And it makes a big difference. My life is bigger. My life is bigger because I do it with Jesus. I do it with you. I do it with you. I do it with you. And 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 I do it. My life is bigger because I do it with you. So much bigger. Because I do life with you. Can I have a good amen? Don't do life alone. Do it with him. You got to tell you, do it with all of them. Do it with all of them. It's a great life.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.